Everybody, welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I'm Dave Johnson, joined as always by Mac McIntyre.
Hockadoo.
Jason Pinella.
Ahoy.
And Eric Astroslager.
Hi there.
And that's the four of us. Going to take you into the weekend. And Mac, we'll just get right to it because I know you saw one of the more anticipated blockbuster movies of the season. So I'll let you take. I'll let you run off with it.
Yeah, I saw Amazing Spider-Man 2. I went there. Went on the first show on Friday. Did my duty as a Marvel fan, and the movie. I guess it's a mixed bag.
Now again, you're a huge Spider-Man guy, so
I am. Yeah, I'm totally biased. I'll admit I'm biased because he's. You know, I grew up reading Spidey. He's one of my favorite characters. The movie's a mixed bag. A lot of the criticisms and the nitpicks that people have been making about it online are definitely valid. You know, a lot of the dialogue is really clunky and forced. A lot of the plot points are kind of, unnecessary and just it's kind of like over. It's a movie that has a lot of business, but not a real like through line of a story. Because we're dealing with Electro, and we're dealing with Harry Osborn, and we're dealing with Peter Parker's father, and of course we're dealing with Gwen, and there's all these different plot threads, and they don't really come together to a satisfying whole. And that plus the fact that the dialogue is just – there are so many groaners in the dialogue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got any examples?
Well, when Electro gets his powers and then he's in a lab in this one scene and he has the big dramatic moment where he's like – I forget the exact wording, but it's like, call me Electro. And it was really like hammy and over the top.
Yeah. Wasn't that one of the criticisms of Jamie Foxx's performance is pretty rough?
Yeah. It's really bizarre. He plays this, like, nerdy, shy guy who he keeps saying that no one ever notices him. But then he develops this, like, sick obsession with Spider-Man where he's alone in his apartment and he thinks Spider-Man's there with him and he's talking to Spider-Man. I don't know.
Yeah.
And but then when he gets his powers, he becomes Electro. That kind of goes away. He just becomes a special effect. You know, he's just there for Spider-Man to fight. So, but you know what? There are positives as well. Because I had fun with the movie. It's fun. A lot of the action scenes are, you know, really well done. There's a great bit at the beginning when Spidey's in the back of this truck and there's all these, like, canisters and they can't break and he's, like, trying to keep, you know, get them all webbed up and keep a hold of them all. And it was a real sort of fun, sort of classic Spidey moment. And a lot of the action scenes are like that. The big set piece is the fight between him and Electro in Times Square, and it's really well done.
How about the Osborn stuff?
It felt a little tacked on, like it was kind of an afterthought.
Yeah.
But that's not because there's so much else going on in the movie. You know, if they had taken away all the stuff about Peter's father, which is a lot of the screen time, they could have devoted more toward the Osborns and really developed Harry Osborn more as a character. But again, I'm being so negative here. I did have fun with the movie.
Did you get your $9
worth? I really did.
You get $9 worth?
I'd say so, yeah. Because it's kind of, you know, just sort of that spectacle filmmaking. It's Spidey. It's, you know, he's swinging around New York. He's fighting the bad guys. I mean, it doesn't ruin the character. You know, it doesn't ruin Spider-Man for me. So
that's good.
I think there's enough good about it that I think that, you know, most fans can walk away with something to enjoy. So it's not the best movie. It's not, you know, it's not going to be movie of the year or anything. But, you know, there was fun to be had.
All right. Fun to be had. That sounds pretty good. All right. Jason, what do you got?
This week I whipped through a 12-episode anime series from a couple years ago called Kids on the Slope. And it's a little different than the usual, like, you know, mecha battle and, you know, that crazy anime stuff. And it's a coming-of-age story that's set in 1960s Japan about a bunch of school kids who bond over jazz.
Okay. Yeah. This sounds terrible right now, but I'm going to keep this going.
Okay, good. As a fan of jazz, though, it's pretty good. And it was directed by the guy who did Cowboy Bebop, too. So
okay, all right.
It's really well done. And for people who are animation fans, the actual segments of them jamming along to jazz stuff is just – it's really well animated.
All right.
Especially, like, the drumming. It actually looks like somebody's drumming. So it's good stuff.
All right. Wow. Anime, it looks like someone's drunk. We'll take that.
Yeah.
There is an audience for that. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, it's me, basically.
Okay, you. All right, Eric, we missed you last week, so what do you got? 2 weeks worth of...
I know. You'd think I'd have a lot.
Yes.
But the main thing, like 5 minutes before the show, I was trying to rack my brain. I know I've done things. One thing, I'm not sure, did any of you see the first, I guess, two episodes of the new 24?
Yes. Yeah, I figure that's, we're going to...
Okay, we'll save that.
We're going to save that because we will have a new 24 segment, as we should. As is mandated by our bylaws.
Right, is this a rear spoiler? 24
I think so.
Section?
We'll make it a 24 rear spoiler edition.
Why not? Classic. All right.
Yes.
All right, in that case, we've talked about comic books and video games. I mean, and anime. Let's talk about video games now.
Yes.
I played a bit of South Park, The Stick of Truth.
Ooh, do tell.
The South Park role-playing game I'm not like a huge South Park guy. I watched it a bunch in like 97, 98, kind of, you know, when it was coming on. And, you know, I certainly enjoyed it. I didn't stick with it past college. But, you know, I have enough affection for it, and I heard good things about the game. So I checked it out of the Magic Library.
Yes.
And it's really good. It's one of the few games that's like legitimately funny.
Yeah.
A lot of really funny stuff in there. I think you probably would get more out of it if you're a big fan of the show. And the gameplay is actually pretty cool too. It's like playing an episode of the show. Like it really feels like you are watching and playing an episode at the same time.
Yeah. And graphics look up like I heard it looks like the show.
Yeah. It looks exactly like an HD episode of the show.
Yeah.
Which is pretty awesome. And the actual combat, the role playing combat is, I don't know. Have you ever played any of the like Mario RPG games or something where it's like an kind of an active turn-based thing, you know, nerd talk, but
yes.
where you actually have to like time button presses at the right time to either attack or defend, and you can, there's all kinds of wacky weapons you can get and buffs that you can put on it, and everything is sort of grounded in a kind of kids pretending that they're in this fantasy realm. I mean, everyone's like, people have like pizza boxes for shields and cardboard helmets to give them, you know, actual like health benefits and stuff. That's pretty cool. It's pretty fun. I had to return it before I could finish it, but I've got a request in again, so I'll definitely want to finish that one up.
Oh, nice. All right. I also heard very good things about that too. So. Okay. Let's see. Probably should have had something ready. I will say that Sunday has been a very good night for TV in the Johnson household. We've been really just the HBO Sunday night with Game of Thrones, obviously, but Silicon Valley, which has fast become my favorite half hour comedy. I laughed incredibly hard last night, Sunday night rather. It was incredibly funny, and then Beat has been pretty funny as well. So loving. It's been a good lineup for Sunday night viewing, I have to say.
It's good stuff. I've been checking out Silicon Valley, too, and that's an awfully funny show.
It is. It's Michael.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Nah, it's just pure. It's great. It's just vintage Michael. It's Mike Judge. It feels like Mike Judge. And there's definitely, for Arrested Development fans, there's some recognizable names in the writing and producing credits as well. So that's kind of cool too.
It felt like the pilot was really, really funny. I thought that was really kind of hit it out of the park. And then I thought it was good for the next few episodes. And then this last week's I thought was kind of back up to the level of the first one as far as laughs, but
quite good. So so that's been very enjoyable. And we will get to some 24 action. So that is our rear spoiler where we shove that at the end of the podcast. So if you have not seen it, feel free to check out, though you've probably checked out already. So
I will say though, I think everyone should keep in mind this podcast occurs in real time.
It does. Absolutely it does.
And that is true. I mean for us, for you it happened a while ago. But that's true of 24 as well.
It is indeed. Okay, now before we get into what's coming out, what we got coming out for the site, I'm gonna wedge a special bonus segment into this podcast, and unfortunately only Jason and I know about it and take part in it, but we want you guys to bear witness to it. It's called the Friday Filibuster Swap Meet, and this arose from Jason's very generous offer to send me a terrible movie called Killing American Style, and I was so moved by this, I in turn sent him a film, a fine film, and we are both gonna. So it's kind of like ambush mail too, right? So it's like. So
it really was.
It really was. And Jason had no idea what was coming his way, too. So it was kind of fun. So if postage doesn't spiral out of control, maybe this becomes a regular thing, or maybe not. But I will. We'll do a quick debrief, Jason, as we've kind of shared.
Okay.
In this. I will go first, though, because Killing American Style. I forget the director's name again. Help me out.
I think Sharif was his last name. I can look it up real quick.
He's a guy.
He's Iranian.
Yeah, he's
Omar
the guy.
Sharif.
Yeah, Omar Sharif, absolutely.
If only.
He's a genius who brought a samurai cop. Okay, so this is a mid-80s feeble attempt at an action movie. Maybe it's like early 90s. But it's
I think it's
1990. It's 1990
90, yeah.
On the button. It stars Harold Diamond, right? is the star. Jim Brown is in it as Lieutenant Sunset. Huh? Not bad.
Yep.
And the very recognizable Robert Zadar, who's like the humongous chin guy, right? So it is rough, and most of it takes place like these criminals hold up a house and they take hostages, and much of the movie takes place in this house, and it's just brutal to watch. Right, it is just, Amir Shravan is the director. It is just, our hero is Harold Diamond's John Morgan, and he doesn't really show up and be heroic until what, like 2/3 into the movie or so.
It's, maybe even like the last like 15 minutes.
It seems like he takes his sweet time, even though it's his family who are being held hostage. And really, there's not a ton of action until the very end.
Yeah.
But these guys they really give it their all.
He does. He does beat up somebody in front of his kid just to prove how awesome of a dad he is.
That was pretty good. Yeah, that was pretty good. And some of the villains were very villainous, but they went out like chumps. So like just a few gunshots and they were down. So there was a big fight scene between Diamond and Zadar at the end, but that for some reason, the director decided to stick the camera like as close as possible to them, so he had no idea what was going on. So. It was thank you for that. So thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't understand the title doesn't really make sense either to me, but whatever. So
yeah, I think it comes from the brief the Japanese doctor who's definitely not Japanese.
Dr. Fuji. Yes.
I think the actor's last name is like Rescobar or something like that.
Yes.
He says something and he's like, we need to kill these guys. And I think Harold Diamond says something like, we're going to kill them American style.
No, that's not bad. That's not too bad. I will say, as I'm looking at the IMDb here to refresh my memory, there's a guy in it. There's an actor named Buck Stryker.
Nice.
And I pulled up, he's got one actor credit, Killing American Style. And it's, says Buck Stryker is an actor known for Killing American Style. So there you go.
It's nice to be known for something.
That's true. And then represent Buck Stryker? I don't think so.
If you also look at the IMDb full cast list, there are a lot of people who just have one name who worked on the movie, like Mike and Lorraine. They probably didn't want to use their last names.
So. Yeah, that's right, Mike. Yes.
Is it my turn, or do you want to talk some more about it?
No, I'm done talking about Killing American Style.
So the movie that Dave so kindly sent me is called One Man War.
Yes.
And I guess its alternate title is Macon County War, because it's set in Macon County, Georgia. But it stars Dan Haggerty, the Grizzly Adams.
Correct.
And it's also from 1990, and it was written and directed and edited and everything else by Brett McCormick. Haggerty plays this washed-up folk singer who drifts back home and gets caught up in a feud between his brother and the corrupt politicians and goons who live in Macon County, and it's all over some toxic dump or something like that. And Dan Haggerty, even though he's the biggest name, he's not a big name, but he gets shot in the first maybe, 10 minutes of the movie, and he's in the hospital for maybe, like, let's say 75% of the film.
And the other 25% he's, like, hanging out at a farm or talking or, like, driving his car or something like that. I mean, he doesn't really get his war on for a while.
And I'm wondering if it's even really a war, because he shoots two people, and that's about it.
Yeah, one guy, the main bad guy, what he falls, he takes a header into some toxic waste.
Toxic waste, yeah, and it looks like canola oil, and basically they stare at him for maybe about 2 minutes while he's screaming, and they say, "What is that? Is he okay? We should call an ambulance." And it's
rough.
Really rough.
I think I gave it a 50. And I was ready to love that because the cover is fantastic. I bet you thought, oh, this is a great movie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's just explosions everywhere, and he's got this huge shotgun over his shoulder.
That's right.
None of that happens in
this
movie.
None of it does. Yeah, no.
I do have to mention maybe my favorite part, just because it was so weird. There's some minor characters driving along, and the bad guys shoot his car up, and it catches on fire, right? And the firefighters show up maybe 30 seconds later and start putting the car out. And in slow motion, one of the firefighters reaches inside and pulls a skull out of the car, because that's what's left of the driver. And then they show that shot like three more times from different angles, just in case you didn't see the skull.
Nice. Yes.
So one man more. There we go.
All right. And that concludes this surprise segment here. So very good. Moving on to stuff we got for the site. So we'll zip through this. Mac, go ahead. You got anything?
I got on Blu-ray Vampire Academy.
Oh, boy.
Remember you saw ads for this earlier this year when it was out? Yeah. And, ouch. This one was painful.
Yes.
You know, I go into these sort of young adult adaptations always hoping for the best, you know.
And you're an optimistic guy, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, this movie's made in hopes of cashing in on some of that, you know, Hunger Games, Twilight, Harry Potter money, which is fine. But this movie, it's like, I don't even know where to begin. It's like every line of dialogue, every scene, every choice that the character makes, you just sit there and you go, what, huh? What? Why are they doing that? Why do you say that? What does that mean? It's just, it's that bad. So basically, there's a school for vampires. It's the Vampire Academy.
Yes.
And the two friends are one girl who's half human, half vampire, who's a bodyguard to the other girl, who is the vampire princess. And then you have a third type of vampire with some weird name like Strigoi or something, who are like the sort of bald Nosferatu vampires who want to kill the princess. And
do they eat death by any chance? Just checking.
And also, it's not enough that they're vampires; they can also do magic. So it's there's a whole part of the movie that's where it's basically they're at Hogwarts, learning spells and stuff in their classes. It's so bad. It's just like, I don't know. It's like a total misstep. You know what it is? It's like, as I was watching it, I was thinking back how, you know, every like screenwriting 101 class that people take when they decide they want to learn to write a screenplay, you know, that class will start off with, you know, a very simple basic list of stuff not to do in a screenplay. Yeah. And this one does all of those, you know, the voiceover when you don't need voiceover, I could just go on and on, but the movie's just, it's a train wreck.
All right.
Would you say it's so bad it sent you to the VA hospital?
Oh, good one.
Very nice. Not bad. Very nice.
I've been holding on to that one.
You have been. Yes. Well done.
I thought you were going to say it bites, but you went the high road.
That's right. That's why it was gone last week. You were working on that, right?
I've been up in the mountains. Studying with Tibetan monks.
Check and mate, Matt.
With that joke. I had to reach enlightenment.
All right. Jason, what do you got?
I got a nice martial arts double feature from Shout Factory.
Very good.
From early 70s. One movie is called Hep Kiddo. The other one is Lady Whirlwind. And they both feature this female martial artist named Angela Mao Ying. A lot of fun. Hep Kiddo is definitely the better of the two. And they have a lot of nice turns from Jackie Chan's in there briefly. He gets punched in the face. Sammo Hung's in there. One of the guys, one of the three Furies from Big Trouble in Little China is in there, has a big part. Good stuff. A lot of fun.
All right. Nice. Very concise. Eric.
Yeah. Trying to keep things moving here.
That's good. That's good.
I haven't watched what I'm reviewing this week, but last week I reviewed the Veronica Mars movie.
That's right.
On Blu-ray. And it came out on demand because I was a backer. I make no bones about that. I put my money in. So I actually had a digital copy of it back in March, which was right around the time that we had our second child. So I did not have a chance to watch it until now. So this was actually the first time that I'd seen it. Was when I got it to review, and I thought it was pretty good. I thought Dave, you said you saw it.
We did, yeah. So we pulled the trigger on demand. So
that's good. That's good. I am. It's been a long time since I've seen the show. I loved the show, obviously, and I can thank Dave for turning me on to it. And I thought, this was it the greatest movie ever made? No. Was it, was it full of fan service? Yep. But that's kind of what it's, that's kind of what it was there for. I thought it was a kind of somewhere between a extended episode and a condensed season. I could see like what they did in that, less than 2 hours. Spread out to a full season if they'd, had the time and the money and the ability to do that. And some of the side plots, spoke to things that I assume they would love to do if they had more time. But, I thought it worked pretty well. I thought, they managed to balance jamming every single person who was ever on the show in with, a fine little murder mystery. So I was pretty happy with it.
I think that's about accurately represents my take as well. Nice. Okay, two movies real quick. Special ID, speaking Kung Fu. This is Donnie Yen's latest, who is, an action demigod, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Although I'm not a big fan of the period stuff, but I don't think I like period Kung Fu movies in general. I think I'm over them now. But, like, his contemporary crime action movies are some of the best in the business. So I'd seen the trailer for this a couple weeks ago, and I was pretty psyched. So, I jumped all over it, and I have to say I was disappointed. It was a mediocre to sub-mediocre film. Like the plot itself was kind of a basic undercover agent gets too deep undercover, and right. His loved ones get pulled into this dangerous, game and whatnot. So nothing new really there. But again, if the action delivers, I'm fine with it. But the action really was not in play here. So like just a lot of the fight choreography, which is usually top notch with Donnie Yen, was just kind of boring, either boring or weird. Like weird, there's a whole sequence where he's fighting some guy and for some reason Donnie Yen chose to fight the fight on the ground. He just, scooted along on his butt, kicking at the shins. Just to do it, I guess? I don't know. But it was a lame fight. And it did build up to an ultimate showdown. You knew it was coming between him and the main bad guy at an overpass. And I had buckled in, really excited to see how this played out. It was long, but, again, not very exciting. A lot of MMA stuff, a lot of submission stuff. Just not the kind of electrifying, well-blocked, well-choreographed Donnie Yen fight scenes that I was looking for. So, all that together, just really a disappointing experience overall. And the tonally was weird, too. It was, slapsticky in some parts, and the music was corny, but then it was deadly serious here. So just a misfire as far as I'm concerned. So, but then a total misfire was I, Frankenstein, which I just watched this morning.
Yikes.
Yeah, and I try to go and think with a little bit of open mind, but it didn't take me long to just say, what is going on here? And usually I'm all up for demons and angels and all that kind of stuff, but they really went weird with, the angels were gargoyles, right? So, those who were left behind to fight the demons, they were gargoyles, and that means terrible CGI. So, you have to just deal with these awful CGI gargoyles and, I don't know, there's some convoluted plot about Victor Frankenstein's journal and he's going to resuscitate demons and something. And it was noisy, bombastic. The action wasn't great. The payoffs were lame. And Aaron Eckhart, I just felt bad for him. I was just like, man, this is not a good look, So, yeah.
Now, Dave, I have a question.
Yeah.
How closely did it follow the biblical story of Frankenstein?
That's a great question.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
A few liberties were taken here and there. But, the rock monsters, these gargoyle rock monsters, Sure. Let's be honest. So, yeah, so no good. No,
yeah, sounds like that'd be a great double feature with Vampire Academy.
If by great you mean
torturous.
Yes, torturous. So, yeah, so that's a thumbs down for I, Frankenstein, or as the unintelligible Scotsman would say, Eric.
He'd say it's a Brobrick Mulek Nick the Nick. What was it about? Oh, I'm a Scot. Wait, I don't know. Where
you forget it?
No, that's left that one over the plate.
I understand that you referenced.
That was a meatball over the plate. No, what happened?
Well, I don't. Okay.
See, that's what happens when we don't do show prep.
Oi? Yes. Oi, I'm a Scot. Wait, I don't understand.
All right, never
mind. I mean, I understand the reference. No one else understands.
That's true.
And I don't even get what you're going for.
All right, that segment crashed and burned at the end. So, Mac, do we have anything in the upcoming releases?
Yes, we do. Let's take a look at what's coming out next week. And everybody at home can follow along. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com. We're going to click on the upcoming DVD releases tab. And from there, we're going to scroll down and hit the link for the cover art gallery for May 13th. And just talk about whatever we see on the list here. Probably the big Hollywood release of the week would have to be Her with, what's his name, Joaquin Phoenix.
Right. Spike Jonze movie, yep.
And Orange is the New Black, season one. You guys ever get around to seeing that?
I did not.
No, not yet.
I watched like half of it.
Is it as great as everyone says?
It was fine. I mean, I think that they did a good job. It just wasn't necessarily for me. Although the same is true of House of Cards. So
I'm halfway to a Connect Four movies that I've watched and reviewed. So like there's Special ID or Special ID.
Oh, yeah.
If you'd like to call it right above it. There's another movie I just watched, Poseidon Rex, which is as good.
Oh, man.
Yes. It's Poseidon Rex.
The cover for the movie Panic Button is identical to a terrible movie I reviewed last year called Airborne. Like, identical.
Interesting.
I wonder if it's the same movie with a different title.
We talked about a little bit during our summer preview, we talked about Maleficent and Disney's Sleeping Beauty.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The folks at the Asylum, you know them, they've come out with their own version of Sleeping Beauty. Cover art has a fire-breathing dragon and a very bosomy Sleeping Beauty.
The Hellboy animated Blu-ray there, Blood and Iron's a lot of fun. I saw that.
I never got around to seeing that one.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Does Bikini Swamp Girl Massacre sound? I mean, does that appeal to? I don't know. Bikini Swamp Girl. I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Do the other bikini girls not like the Bikini Swamp Girl?
That's true. Like, is that a pejorative? Oh, you're such a Bikini Swamp Girl.
I think it might appeal to people who open up dictionaries at random and point words and make titles.
Agreed. Yeah. In other news, Barney Miller's tie is humongous.
Yes.
It's a sword.
I think it is a sword. I don't know.
I think it's actually Link's sword.
It's one of those Facebook things where you have to stare at it for 15 seconds, and then you look at something else. And then it'll
show. Yeah, then you click like, and then they take your identity.
All right. I don't know. Sort of things here. So please purchase and support DVD Verdict's work. So, real quick, University of Sonic Mac.
Squatters.
Ah, you took mine.
That's good.
All right, Jason.
Pennsylvania Ballet.
All right, Eric.
Easy Money.
That's good. I'll go with Longmire.
That's good. I think you know exactly what that means, Dave.
I do know. I'm playing coy. I am. Anyone ever watch Longmire, by the way? Or hear of it, or hear anything about it?
I've heard it's so-so.
Yeah, it looked like sort of interesting, you know?
I watched like the first 5 minutes. It's been on my Netflix queue for like a year, and I watched the first 5 minutes, and it was interesting, but not interesting enough for me to come back just yet.
All right, very good. We're making excellent time, so let's rock it through our ambush topics, random topics we throw at each other for fun and amusement. So, Eric, why don't you kick us off?
All right. I've not seen Amazing Spider-Man 2, but from everything I've read, the mixed reviews, I would imagine that people are not going to be talking about this movie for very long. And as excited as some people may be, Mac included, that it's not going to be something people go back to again and again and again, which is not unusual for summer movies. So my topic is forgettable summer movies.
It's a good one.
Which is basically summer movies. But forgettable summer.
Forgettable summer movies.
Be a little more focused.
You know, it's interesting because, like, that's that interesting. They're not going to be so terrible. That's, you know, they're not going to be so bad, because you remember the bad, bad ones, right? So they're like barely tolerable, I suppose.
You guys might like this, but the it came out like 10 years ago, I think. Reign of Fire.
Oh, I love Reign of Fire.
It's not a bad movie either.
But it's okay. But it's, yeah, I'm not offended by that.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's one that's like, it's just a movie that I watched, and once in a blue moon I'll think about it, but almost never.
That's fair. But, man, I think about Reign of Fire all the time. Dude. I don't. But I'm a big fan. Very good. That's good. Let's
see. I guess for me, I mean, the movie's got kind of a cult following, and it's fairly well known, but the fact that it didn't perform as well as everyone hoped is what makes it forgettable, and that's Last Action Hero.
Right, sure. Yeah.
I remember seeing a magazine cover that summer that had a picture of the Tyrannosaurus Rex from Jurassic Park next to a picture of Arnold from Last Action Hero, and it said the two biggest movies of the summer. And of course, Jurassic Park was the huge hit, and Last Action Hero was not.
Right. Yeah. Not so much. I'm gonna have to go with it. I just had it in the back of my head, and I lost it. Oh! Okay, yes, Men in Black. I don't remember that movie at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, got enough. I don't remember. I just remember, like, a bug split on the windshield and the opening titles.
Yeah.
And then the mind wipe thing. And then...
I mean, I could see, like,
more Men than I remember.
I mean, for me, I was like Men in Black 2. Like, I don't remember Men in Black
2
at all.
Yeah, that's the forgettable.
Yeah, I don't think I saw that, though. I think I saw Men in Black in the theaters, so that's all I got.
Yeah.
Men in Black 2, had all the hype. It was the big summer movie, and then...
Is that the one with Lara Flynn Boyle in it?
Right.
Yeah.
And then, like, a week later, everyone forgot about it.
Yeah.
There you go, summer movies.
All right. To you, Eric, what's your
pick? Okay, I know I saw this in the theater at a time when I went to see a lot of summer movies. I don't remember anything about The Patriot.
No,
Mel Gibson. I remember like him standing. What's that?
Yeah, I'm gonna hear what you remember because I remember one thing.
I remember him like running with a musket and like standing under a tree, he had his sons with him. And so, I mean, I can fill in some of the blanks because I'm generally aware of the Revolutionary War, but that's it.
I remember some poor bastard got his leg ripped off by a cannonball rolling on the ground.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I got.
The awkward mixed message of Mel Gibson impaling the bad guy on with the flagpole with the American flag on
that's
it.
Weird.
That's weird. What exactly were they trying to say there?
I have a hard time getting behind the Revolutionary War genre anyway, just because I have no hard feelings toward the Brits, you know.
Now, Mac, did that like flag impaling happen before or after the Homer Simpson recut of Mr. Smith Goes to Washington?
Good question.
we'll get our interns on that.
All right, Mac, why don't you take? What do you got next? Go ahead.
Okay, Strange and Unusual Spies.
I want to say Mr. F, but I don't think that counts. let's see. Okay. Strange and Unusual Spies. Anyone here? Anyone?
Boy.
This is tough.
I've seen a lot of spy movies, right? Jeez.
Yeah, all the Bond movies, all those crazy characters.
All I can think of is Spy Kids, but I've never seen those movies. They're kids and they're spies. How weird is that?
Kids and they're spies.
Again, like I've never seen it, so I imagine, it's like, I gotta be home in time before it's dark, but I also have to, infiltrate this terrorist cell. That's like it's mine in my head or something.
I think that's a count. I think that counts.
All right.
Because I've never seen Agent Cody Banks. Right? The one with...
There you go.
What's his face? Out in the middle. I can't even remember.
Freddie Muniz. Yeah.
Freddie Muniz. I was going to say Freddie Prinze Jr. So, I'm going to go with that. I may have like caught a couple minutes of it on TNT once, so that's what we call it that. Yeah.
I have the cover in my mind, and I know it has Mr. Bean. What's his name in it?
Yes.
Rowan Atkinson.
Rowan Atkinson. I know what's that. Yeah, Eddie, Johnny English?
Johnny English. That's right. Ugh.
Yeah.
He's strange.
I actually do have a real one that just popped to mind. Leonard from Leonard Part 6.
Oh, man.
Movie.
Yeah. That's a favorite. That's a favorite. Yeah.
Riding around on the back of an ostrich.
Yeah. Oh, man. Crazy. He shaves a chicken man or something like that. Crazy. Yeah. Here's a random Leonard Part 6. That may have been a summer movie, too. So this applies to Eric's, but here's a very random Leonard Part 6 memory. I believe – do you guys remember the buffet-powered restaurant Ponderosa? Does that ring a bell to
anyone? Oh, yeah.
I have a memory. I might have to Google search this or something, but Ponderosa was running a Leonard Part 6 promotion.
That sounds about right.
And I went to Leonard, yeah, and I remember getting some kind of Leonard Part 6 toy from Ponderosa.
Was it his daughter's topless scene? Was that a lobster that sticks to your nose?
Nothing. Nothing. All right.
I made quite the discovery on Netflix. There is a movie on there from 2006. It's a live-action movie that's made for kids. It's called Spy Mate.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. It's about a chimpanzee who is a international super spy.
Gotcha. Spy Mate.
Oh, I get it now. Okay.
Yeah. See,
I thought it was a pirate thing.
No, that would have been cool too. But no, yeah, he's a chimp. He's a super spy, and his ex-partner's daughter, who's a child genius, is kidnapped, and so he's called back into action for one last job to go and rescue the kid. So he has a flying jetpack.
Awesome.
And he can drive a car. And you guys make such a big deal about the dog from Air Bud that can allegedly play basketball.
Yes. He can play basketball. The dog plays basketball in real life. It's real.
but Minky, the super spy mate, he can sword fight. Whoa. He put a sword in his hand. He swings his arm around, and the stuntmen, like, fight accordingly back to him. It's pretty brilliant.
Chimps don't need any help being dangerous. All
right. Also, I can't believe I forgot about Wang Wang, Agent 00 from
Hideo. He had a flying jetpack, too.
Oh, he did. That's why I just remembered him. Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Jason.
Great point of view shots or scenes from movie and TV.
Okay. Jason just shared a photo on my timeline at Facebook. I was not hallucinating, correct?
No.
There is. I don't know how you found that, but there it is. There's a Leonard Part 6. It was the Leonard? Yeah, the camera. I got the camera. That's what I had. I had the Leonard Part 6 camera. Unbelievable. I don't know what sorcery that you drummed up for that. Jason, but thank you for that.
Oh, I just, yeah. Leonard
was the devil plaything.
Yes. Unbelievable. Okay. What in the world?
Okay, so.
Sorry.
Great point of view shots or sequences.
Okay, so point of view, you mean like when the camera is the character's point of view? Yeah, or do you mean like scenic vistas? Or?
Yeah, character's point
first
of view.
Person, okay. First person.
Okay.
Okay, guess what? I'm going to go with Leonard Part 6. Because there is, like right in the beginning, you get the point of view of like one of the fish that's been drugged to like kill people. And you see it swimming. You got its point of view as it swims through like the sewer. It actually stops to look at like a Playboy magazine or something. And then it continues to go and it eats some guy who jumps into a pool or something like that. But yeah, the killer fish from Leonard Part 6. That is two Leonard Part 6 references in one podcast.
Dave, are you getting Leonard Part 6 money under the table or what?
I think it just...
And does it have anything to do with the giant Jell-O pudding pops truck I saw outside your house the other day?
I didn't know what I wanted to do for an ambush topic, and now I know. Where's movies that start with L and end in a number?
Still point of view shots.
Okay.
I gave it a 50, by the way, when I reviewed the movie in 2005.
Generous.
Nice.
Wow, that's pretty high. For
I guess it did not age well, apparently.
Did it start well? I mean, it was Ponderosa grade, but was it actually?
Ponderosa grade. You know what? We would all do well if we were ever described as being Ponderosa grade.
And plentiful and include battered shrimp.
That's right.
All right. I guess I'll go with Oh, sorry.
I don't even know what we're talking about. Point
I don't
of
know. What's the point of views?
Point of view.
I'll go with
that.
I'll go with the Blair Witch Project. That was, you know, kind of when we first found footage. I'll go with the actual, like, the famous, like, basically final shot of the reveal of the guy and standing in the corner.
I guess along similar lines, there's the ending of Silence of the Lambs when Clarice has the night vision goggles.
Oh, yeah.
And we see a whole bunch of shots from her point of view where everything's all green and funky looking.
Wait. Doesn't Buffalo Bill have the night vision goggles?
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Ah.
See, well, now I need to watch it again.
Totally. I just Leonard Part 6 to him.
You pwned him.
Ponderosa'd me.
Ponderosa.
That Ponderosa. Yeah. Like, Ponderosa reinvented for hipsters.
Nothing but Leonard Part 6 toys.
Man, I'm laughing way too much at Ponderosa. P-W-P-O-N-D-E-R-O-S-A.
Jack,
owned by these biscuits, noob.
All right, does anyone own Ponderosa?
This is yet another...
Server not found.
Oh, wonderful. This is just...
Do not upload this episode until we... Some, until, right. I don't know, you probably has been bought that. I'm not going to pay money for that. Sorry, go ahead, Dan.
Well, from my point of view, I'm going to go with Evil Dead 2, the point of view from the force, the evil force that's chasing Ash.
Yeah, that's great.
Through the house, and then Ash kind of like ducks out of the way in the point of view. The evil force gets kind of confused there for a second and is like looking around.
Very good. Okay, I'm just going to continue with the Leonard Part 6 feel for tonight. So just memorable moments or your favorite parts of the sixth installment of something.
Nice.
It could be a TV show. It could be a movie franchise, video game, whatever. The sixth installment. You might have to think. I understand if you have to be thinking about this. But
Well, I can go.
Go for it.
Star Trek 6, The Undiscovered Country.
That's very
which,
nice.
Which had the great zero-G sequence where you're introduced to the bright fluorescent pink Klingon blood.
Yes.
And it looked like Pepto-Bismol.
It did. It was excellent.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good. That's a solid movie, you know?
It is. It really is. Yeah, they brought back Nicholas Meyer for that one. He really brought it. Yeah, that was actually done. The blood, that was done to for the censors. So they could still get the PG-13.
Oh, nice.
Because red blood is bad, but bright pink blood is good. So.
You're good, of course.
And everywhere else throughout the history of Star Trek, Klingons have just had regular, normal red blood. The pink blood was never repeated.
So the topic is great moments from the sixth episode?
Memorable, whatever. You know, just something, okay, something that sticks with you.
That's right. All right. I don't know if this is cheating. I don't think it's cheating. Episode 6 of Star Wars,
that
Return
works.
Of the Jedi.
That's great. Okay. That's perfectly fine.
When the poor Rancor master breaks down, when his pet gets, you know.
Did you feel a little bad for the Rancor, just a little bit?
I did. When he does that final, like, he was just doing what he was trained to do. It's not his fault.
Monster.
Yeah.
I kind of felt bad for the Gamorrean guard, right, Mac? The Gamorrean.
Oh, yeah.
He got chomped. He had a little squeal as well. I thought, he was just doing his job. He had a family to feed, right?
I don't know. Gamorrean. Those Gamorrean guards are kind of they're not really upscale members of society.
Oh, they're not.
Friday filibuster fun facts. I was a Gamorrean guard for Halloween one year.
No, we were not.
It was one of those, you know, like the plastic mask and then like the apron. I had one of those.
Okay,
probably right around the time the movie came out.
Let's
recap some of this.
I wish I did.
Learned about participants. You know, we just learned that at one point Eric Ashlinger was a Gamorrean guard for Halloween.
Absolutely was.
I received a miniature spy camera during the Leonard Part 6 promotion. So I think we're really doing some good work here. So
I'm sure that Jason and Mac have their share of weird movie moments from childhood.
But yeah, so you guys have until the end of that podcast to come up.
You know, cross promotional marketing tie-ins from that suckered you in when you were a kid.
Right. All right. Jason, to you, right?
Yeah. I'm gonna go with Buffy season 6, the musical episode Once More with Feeling. There will be some days where I'll just out of the blue start singing songs from that. So. I guess that's a good thing.
Okay, very good. Okay, well, since we're talking, since we're talking 24, how about season 6 of 24? Do anybody remember season 6 of 24?
I realized the other day I remember nothing from 24. I remember virtually nothing from 24. It all blends together.
Yeah, so
season, that was the New York season.
Season 24, let's see. So season 6 was – here's some of the subplots. So you tell me if this triggers any. I'm relying on Wikipedia here because I had to jog my memory too. This really was just a segue to our rear spoiler. But let's see. We have Karen Hayes. Anybody remember her? Okay, no? Clashes with Tom Lennox? No? Nothing?
Okay. The names sound familiar.
The corrupt members of Wayne Palmer's administration attempt to have him killed?
With the – no, wait. That wasn't with the poisoned hand.
Season two,
wasn't it?
That's David Palmer who gets sassy.
Oh, David Palmer.
Oh, was this when they tunnel under the White House?
I think so. That's right, the Frogmen, the killer.
Yeah.
Oh, with Tony, Tony hanging out in the cafe for like half the season.
I think so.
Disappearing.
I think this is this is the one where Jack realizes that his father and brother are like involved in this, and like. It's the nerve gas or something like that.
Yeah.
This is the Peter
Weller. Coming back.
And Jack has his goofy nephew, right? Do you remember this? Remember his goofy-looking nephew there? So, I don't know. So that's that. And
that's it. That's it. It flashes in 24.
Okay. And this is here's the last major subplot according to Wikipedia. Jack struggles with the fact that Audrey has been tortured by the Chinese and will need long-term care. So,
is that the one that ends – I'm trying to remember if that was like the season that broke me on 24.
That was a rough one.
I'm trying to remember if that's the one that like ends with Jack like standing and looking at the ocean because he's just been kicked out of the Heller house.
Maybe.
It might be. And I was like – and that was the kind of the end of 24 for me.
Yeah, maybe.
Because that was a show.
I think it was that penultimate one. I know there was another one, season...
Season 7, right? Well, there was definitely season 7. Was there season 8 or just season
7? Yeah, there was a season 8. There was season 8, that's right. That's okay. That's the one where the cover is Jack Bauer running and shooting someone on top of a taxi cab hood.
Yeah. It's amazing, and I know we're not in this one, the rear spoiler section, but this is not a spoiler. I mean, like, it's amazing how it went from a point where I love 24. I couldn't wait for the new season to me just making fun of it mercilessly. I don't know what happened. I don't know what that switch was. It was probably us writing our stupid little blog post.
Probably a lot of work into that, too.
We did. It's all gone now.
It actually exists somewhere. Apparently, it's been contained on the server. So, some kind of unrecognizable binary code, but it exists. Yeah. So, we'll take that as a segue into our rear spoiler section. So, you can stick with us or tune out no matter what. So, Jason and Mac, I don't know, did you watch 24 at all?
I did not. I actually felt like I should have because I knew this was coming.
It was coming. It was going to happen.
I totally forgot it was on. Go ahead and spoil everything.
All right, we will spoil everything. So, it's a two-hour premiere, and we're in London, right? We're in London. So, the setting is President Heller, who was the Secretary of Defense, and Audrey's father. He's the president. We find out that he's got a degenerative ailment that is affecting his state of mind. So there's that subplot going on, and he's got pretty Weasley chief of staff who is Weasley, and Chloe is like working for Snowden, I guess. He's like she's like a hacker. And then she gets sucked into the CIA's special activities, which apparently includes crucifixion and drugging and whatnot. And then Jack turns up, gets himself captured, breaks Chloe out, is pursued by a generic blonde CIA agent who I guess will be – I've seen her like – since I've seen her in this show, I've seen her in like 5 other series. She was an I Frankenstein, so she's.
All right. Well, she was a big player on Chuck. She was in the last couple seasons of Dexter.
Right.
I know.
Good. There you go. Excellent. So
to me, it's like, oh, of course, Yvonne Strahovski, like random blonde. Yeah.
That's who it is. So
it's all how you look at it.
So so Audrey's back, and she's as, you know, as I don't know, as Audrey as ever, I suppose. So we've got 2 episodes in. It looks like and Lady Stark seems to be the main villainess. So Michelle Fairley is the main villainess here. She's been manipulating, and she seems to have cracked the code on how to operate drones, and she's going to potentially use drones to wipe out the president or do what. But we don't know the extent of her plot, but we know that she's...
I think it has something to do with delivering Amazon packages to the wrong
address. I believe so. I think she needs to get the Amazon mom stuff out there right away.
That's right.
Yeah, so that's it. We're two episodes in. Jack has already broken out of the CIA. He's like, set up a firebomb that almost killed the CIA agent, but miraculously did not. He's executed like six heroin dealers, I think, right? So he's done.
That's pretty sweet. Several, at least, I'd say two or three damnits.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Okay. Those are good.
One not uttered by him. I think the first damnit was not actually his. It was the CIA head guy.
That's right. Yes, that's right. Who is Benjamin Bratt, right? Benjamin.
There you go. Yeah.
And the Jack equivalent there, and like the field agent guy, was actually a character from The Wire. So I remember all these guys from The Wire showing up. So it's good to see them get work. But actually Jack doesn't say a word until like 45 minutes in or something.
It's pretty crazy.
It was pretty crazy. So he doesn't actually say anything. So I would say I think the 12-episode limitation is the way to go. I don't know if it's going to be 12 real-time hours or what. Have we heard anything about that?
I imagine it has to be. I mean,
Right.
They've already said that. I mean, the first 2 hours were, so I don't see why they would jump ahead.
Yeah. I will say, though, it was good to have it back. As ridiculous as those others were, you know, the last couple seasons were so ridiculous. It was just nice to have it back. It just felt like, I don't know, hanging out with an old friend who, you know, who says damn it all the time, but I had a good time.
I agree. I mean, I think enough time has passed that I'm actually apparently ready for 24 again. I wouldn't have thought so. I didn't even know it was on until the day after it aired, and I saw that it had come on, and I watched it on Hulu. But, it suckered me back in enough to say, ooh, I wonder what that guy wants. And, ooh, everyone's double-crossing everyone, of course, because it's 24. People wear wigs for no reason.
Right.
You know, because, you know, who cares if you're blonde or a redhead? Doesn't really matter.
Of course, right.
You know, everyone is trying to steal something. Everyone's murdering everyone else.
It begins and ends with Jack.
But it works.
Right? It begins and ends with Jack. How badass does Jack get? And he was quite badass in this. And I will say, if it were another 24 episodes, I'd be less excited. But, like, the idea of, like, a mini 12-episode series, like, it's kind of where I'm at. And, like, all the, you know, it's got all the recognizable names back, like David Fury, you know, John Cassar, all these guys are doing it.
They kind of went down the road in the last season, I remember, of Jack kind of being so sort of damaged by everything he'd done that he was kind of working on the fringes of what was going on, or at least people kind of looked at him as being, a rogue in some ways. And I think that, I mean, obviously this one he's, you know, on the major CIA watch list and everyone wants to have him arrested. I can't remember the last season what all happened with the question of him trying to kill Heller, and do you remember any of that? That was a big thing.
I do not remember.
And obviously, I mean, there's, you know, that weaselly, chief of staff dude. I question his motives.
Yes.
I will say that much. I question everyone's motives. I question his motives.
Right.
Especially. And I feel bad for that poor drone operator dude who just kind of got...
No, you got the shaftola. Absolutely.
Because, you know, I mean, I'm not sure that, revoking a weekend pass is enough reason to think someone would commit.
That's true.
You mean the same guy who revoked your weekend pass? Yes, that's why I killed him with the drone strike.
I noticed that you had a playoff game in your dodgeball league. Were you really upset? Yeah. So I just think it's just nice to have that kind of, that burly kind of action show again on TV. And like Kiefer doesn't look like he's missed a beat, and he's surprisingly still trim, right? Yeah. I mean, he doesn't look any different. So
If they embrace some of the, it's a goofy kind. It's a goofy show, really.
Right,
it's a show where Chloe can disappear out of a van in 2 seconds and then have a car 2 seconds later.
Absolutely.
And that's is it really real time?
Yeah, but that ship sailed in season one. You know,
so. That's it. Absolutely. And I can't wait to see what the Jack sponsorship car is going to
be
this
great.
Time. Here in London.
I mean, the Volvo is pretty good.
Volvo's good. It's going to be like a.
It can't be a Mini. He's not going to ride around in a Mini.
No. It's got to be one of those like weird British like equivalents, like a Honda Jazz or like a Vauxhall
or
something.
Mondeo or something.
Renault.
Yeah, that's right.
Something like that.
Okay. So, I have a question for you guys about it. Is it basically set up as season 9, or is it a standalone thing?
I mean, it's continuing. I mean, it's chronological. Okay. Like, it picks up where stuff left off, you know? Gotcha, so, gotcha. I mean, they don't call it season 9. They call it 24, Live Another Day. And it's a mini-series. That's what they built it as. So, okay. I mean, I have no idea if they're trying to test the, you know, if anyone's interested in another round of this. Or, like, personally, I'd be up to, like, little – I think in general I like mini-series setups anyway. You know, I like the 10-episode, 12-episode stuff, and you're done. So, and I think, honestly, I think it just fits well with the show because even looking at the 24 when it aired, it always aired in, like, three chunks. You know, they're, like, three separate – it felt like there were chapters that, you know.
Mini-arcs.
Mini-arcs, right? Yeah. So, which I still don't – you know, I think that's the only way you could probably do it without losing your mind. So I just think it – especially for a show like this where everything's, you know, real-time and hyperactive.
I mean,
the shorter, the better.
They've given it a name that evokes the Bond franchise. So you kind of – you know, maybe they can go that direction. You know, they'll have a – you know, like a, you know, Jack Bauer will return in Damn It's Our Forever. Something like that.
Damn, it's on forever. That's good. All right.
I'm reusing jokes. I mean,
I like it. No, that's a good one. So I think with that said, I think that takes us to the end of the Friday Filibuster. So, Mac, take us away.
This was, I believe, the first recorded instance of a CIA agent being eaten alive by a rainbow trout.